Blog Talk Radio.
I got a new walk and a new point of view, a new purpose for everything I do. I got a new rule, only real folks around. If you were wondering about to tell you nothing, it's the same pretty face but a brand new smile. Same letter C, but she ain't.
Great God evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's show. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy evening to join me on our show tonight. I am excited about the topic matter that we'll be discussing. I hope that you got an opportunity to tell others to tune in and to listen in as well. I want you, if you have not gotten that opportunity, I'm going to ask that you would invite your friends and family members to tune in. They could either call the 646 number 929-0630, or they could tune in by going to the link that some of you did receive. So do invite them in. Want to give a shout out to Dr. Rosemary Cook for allowing me this opportunity to share with you all every other Monday night. It is indeed a pleasure and a joy to come on and to have a conversation with you through the airwaves. I'm not feeling the best tonight, so I'm going to ask that you would do lift me up in prayer. Go a little under the weather, had a little procedure done. So just do cover me in prayer. Also, most of you do know and are aware that this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so want to take the opportunity to give a shout-out to all breast cancer survivors, woo-hoo, and thank the Lord for keeping them and for healing them and for them being the strong warriors that they are in the survivors. We want to give a special shout out to my sister Dana and friend Katrina and cousins Beatrice and Carolyn and Margaret, all who are breast cancer survivors, as well as a good friend Lisa Raleigh, Minister Lisa. Want to give a shout out to her as well. And we remember those who fought the good fight of faith with breast cancer, who are now resting in their eternal resting place. So we acknowledge those who have gone through that battle, and let us continue to pray for cure as well as donate to the cause of fighting breast cancer. It is indeed an ugly disease. Cancer, period, is an ugly disease. And so we have to continue to pray and lift that up before the Lord, as well as, again, donate. So tonight we have a great discussion to talk about. Just before we go into the discussion, I pray that all of you have had a great day in the Lord so far, and that you have had some quality time, some quiet time with God. That is so important that we take time throughout the day to talk to our Heavenly Father and to get linked in, because the truth of the matter is, without being linked in and connected to that power source, we are unable to sustain the winds and the waves and the currents that this life blows our way. So we need to be linked in, tied up, and connected. Amen. So hopefully, again, some of you have had the opportunity to go and invite others on the airwaves tonight. So we want to talk about living your authentic self. What is that, to live your authentic self? And if you have the opportunity to kind of read what tonight's discussion is all about and try to get a glean into the dialogue, you'll see and highlighted in the description, we're going to look at how well do you know you? How well do you know you? And for some people, when they hear that question, I can see some of the facial expressions like, really? Wow, you know, what kind of question is that? But it is a real question that begs to be answered and explored. When was the last time you had an honest conversation with yourself? Yes, you. When was the last time you had a real, true, honest conversation with yourself? And how important is it to know yourself? How, you know, the importance of knowing yourself is critical to living out your purpose and destiny. And so self-truth is something people tend to avoid and hide from because of fear and shame. And so on tonight's show, we'll discuss self-truth and how to walk in it authentically, self-truth. And God has no problem, let me say this up front, for some folk who may take offense or have some reservations about exploring and gaining a greater understanding of oneself. I think that God desires for us to be in tune also with ourselves, because how then can we really be true and authentic in our walk and relationship with Him and thus with others? And so let's go there. Who are you? Excuse me. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? You know, are you just Mary's daughter? Are you James' mother? Are you Henry's wife? Are you the kid from round the way with the big mouth? Are you the one that everybody comes to looking for an answer? Who are you? Who are you? Are you a brand? Are you a brand? And we know that in today's world, you know, folk are big on branding, and we have life coaches that kind of push people and teach people how to develop brands, and there's nothing wrong with that, but are you simply a brand, a product, a label? That is, you know, something that identifies you, your mark. Are you more than a brand? Are you more than a wife? Are you more than a husband? Are you more than a coworker? Are you your job? Who are you? Are you just a member at someone's church? Who are you is the question that I'm asking you, and have you asked yourself that lately? Have you asked yourself that question? Who am I? Who am I? People tend to answer that question by using, you know, certain identifiers to label themselves with. You know, people tend to label themselves with certain subjective forms. I am special, I am adorable, I am smart. Adjectives they use, yeah, people tend to use adjectives and describing people. You've heard folks say, when they say, well, who is so-and-so? And then you'll say, oh, she's the smart one, she's a friendly, or she's kind, or he's intelligent. We tend to describe people using those type of adjectives. And so adjectives, and so there can be positive adjectives as well as negative adjectives that we tend to use when we are trying to tell someone who a person is. We limit the person's description by using certain definitions. And the other question I want to ask, can adjectives be subjective? Can they be subjective? I would dare say that, yes, they can. Specific adjectives such as described, one can describe one being hot or cold, or something that is measurable, that is a specific thing that we use, and so that is something that cannot be what changed. It is not subjective. It is not subjective. But when you talk about a person being pretty, being smart, being adorable, being agreeable, a person being unfriendly, that is then used out of an individual's lens of a person, out of their own opinion, what they think, their own thought, and it is subject to change based on the individual that is doing the identifying. And so that is not something that can be used like in terms of it being hot or cold outside, an adjective for, and a certain description of being hot or cold outside, which then can be measured even scientifically. So who are you? That's a loaded question. Who are you is a loaded question, and you'll get anything from A to Z, A to Z when we talk about who are you. So the real deal is many folk don't want to really know who they are. Smile, that if that's not you, you know, hey, raise your hand and just thank the Lord that's not you. But there are plenty of folk out here who really don't want to know who they are. And let me say this about that whole thing of folk not really wanting to know who they are. Some people rather live in a lie. They rather live in a lie about who they really are, because the reality of who they are requires unmasking, and many folk don't want to take the mask off. And all of us, if we're honest with ourselves as you're listening to this conversation on tonight, all of us have worn a mask. Yes, we have. Yes, you wanted to. The one that's saying, I don't wear a mask, never have. Yes, you have. Sometimes masks are worn for different reasons, and we put on happy faces when we are, you know, deep down inside, we are not at our happiest. And we put on the happy face so no one can really peep into the real, authentic us, if you understand what I'm saying. So taking off the mask can be quite frightening at times. Just masking yourself can be frightening. And so that's why sometimes people put makeup on, because they don't want folks to see the scars, to see the pimples, to see the real them when they take off the makeup. Have you ever seen anybody who you were used to seeing with makeup on? And I pray that my brothers who are listening to this conversation, you can't personally identify when makeup. I'm just going to throw that out there. But in case you have, okay. You too then understand where I'm going when I talk about when you see someone who you are used to seeing wearing makeup, even if you wear makeup yourself all the time, and when you take off the makeup, you then get to see the real, pure, raw of you. And sometimes folk don't like to see the real deal, the real them, the person that God made them into being. Now, I'm not saying or suggesting that a little makeup, you know, is problematic, because some folks, some of us need a little makeup. We thank God for the intelligence of those, you know, folk who came up with the idea and formulated the makeup. We thank God for the, you know, those folks, the chemists and the scientists and all of them. We thank God for them. So all makeup isn't bad, but I'm making a point here that the reason some people wear makeup and need makeup, because they are hiding some stuff that they don't want people to see. So then I guess the other question to ask is wearing a mask necessarily a negative thing? And so then I guess the other flip side of that coin to that question is, depending on what kind of mask you are wearing. So we all wear a mask. What kind of conversations do you have with yourself about yourself? About yourself. I want to say a little more, too, about I'll come back to the whole mask thing in a little bit. But what kind of conversation do you have with yourself about yourself? What is your self-talk like? What is your self-talk like? Do you beat yourself down when you have a conversation about yourself? Do you tell yourself God does not love you because of where you've been, what you've done, or what you haven't done? And we have to be careful about the type of conversations that we have with ourselves. You know, some folk you've heard people say, if you talk to yourself, then something is wrong with you. Well, that's another kind of level of conversation, you know, that folk are having with themselves. But in the real honest discussion about oneself and looking into the inner person and going deep within, it behooves you to have a real conversation with yourself about yourself, because the real truth is only you outside of God can tap into the real you. Am I right? Okay. So according to author Mac Chernoff, he says there are 6 conversations you need to have with yourself. There are 6 conversations you need to have with yourself. The first conversation is what you love. What do you love? And how much do you love what you love? That is so important when you're dealing with yourself, because the very thing that you love the most is the very thing that you'll feed, the very thing that you'll give into. That's why the scripture says where a man's heart is, that's where what? His treasure. So wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. That is the thing that gets most of your attention. That is the thing that you feed the most. That's why it's a dangerous thing to love money, for the love of money produces what? All types of evil and wickedness. Not money, but the love of it. So we have to be careful about when we talk about what we love. That's the first thing. He says the first thing is what you love in the conversation. Then the next thing, that number 2, he says, in terms of having a conversation with yourself, he says, what, he talks about your own inner truth. You have a conversation about your own inner truth, your own inner truth. And so when you're dealing with your own inner truth, you're looking inward as opposed to outward. That right there, because a lot of us want to reflect. We want to reflect and use other things so that we don't have to deal with our what? Own inner truth. We don't have to have that type of conversation with ourselves. Okay. The third conversation he says we ought to have with ourselves is, what are you willing to sacrifice for your goals? Somebody said, no pain, no what? No gain, right? So what are you willing to sacrifice for your own goals? That's the kind of conversation that we ought to be having, especially those who are trying to live out where what God has assigned to them. It is of necessity that you have that conversation with yourself. What are you willing to sacrifice to meet the very goal and challenge that God has laid at your feet and put in your hands, and to make it to the place promise, to make it to the place of great potential? There are some things we have to sacrifice time and money and energy, and in some cases sleep. We have to make some sacrifices, and it is a dangerous thing to believe that we can just get to where we have to go or where we are headed to without sacrificing. Jesus came to this earth with the understanding, in order for him to fulfill the promise of the Father, he had to sacrifice something. He had to sacrifice his life amen, because the real deal is he would have not accomplished the assignment had the sacrifice not been made. Am I talking to somebody? So he says that right there in terms of the six type of conversations we ought to be having with ourselves. Number three is, and I reiterate, what are you willing to sacrifice? The fourth part of the conversation has to be when we're having conversations with ourselves, the little victories, to have these conversations with ourselves, to reflect on the little victories of each day. Talk to yourself about the little small victories that you have each day, because I believe the importance of this type of conversation is to not allow the enemy to step in and to accuse us and to beat us down and to get us depressed, to hinder the growth and the promises of God. If we can just reflect on the little victories each day, we can see the greater. We can see that God is still moving, even if it's small victories, that God has not gone to sleep, that God has not forgotten, that the promise is still pertinent and still real. And so he says, have the conversation with yourself about the little victories of each day, because each day the reality is there is some type of victory that we experience. And so the fifth conversation he says that we ought to have is how to help others. See, in helping others, that we see that we are placed here as instruments, not unto ourselves, but unto God first and to the service of mankind. We then, if we understand that we are service to others, we understand our value and our worth. And number six, the sixth conversation he says that we ought to have with ourselves is the immediate reality of your own happiness. The immediate reality of your own happiness. And tapping into that and understanding that, too, it is my belief that your happiness is contingent, not necessarily on other people, but that you draw strength from your inner man through the joy and person of the Holy Spirit, that you make a cognizant decision, I am going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. Why? Because the hope of glory lives inside of me. I'm going to be happy. It is a decision that I am choosing to be happy. So I reflect on that immediate reality of my own happiness. And so he says we ought to have these six types of conversations with ourselves. So, and discovering your authentic self, you must first ask the question, who are you? You cannot look, or you cannot, in other words, you cannot not look, but you cannot be locked into a premise of self-denial and self-grandeur. Both are deceiving. You have to be really careful when you begin to look at yourself and you're asking that question, one, that you do not get locked in a prism of self-denial and that you do not get locked in a prism of self-grandeur, because both are what? Both are deceiving. Shakespeare said, to thy own self be true, to thy own self be true. Don't deny what you see when you really look in your inner soul, your inner being, the deep places. Do not deny what you see. Also, Paul said in Romans 12:3, he says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Don't think more grandiose of yourself. You know, sometimes, folks, when we deny the truths of who we really are, we do it at our own demise. But when we think that we are greater than what we are, we also put ourselves at greater risk for demise. Do you hear what I'm saying? So there must be truth there. There must be truth when answering the question, who are you? Who are you? Be true when answering the question, who are you? Be sure not to fall in the trap of other people's definition of who you are as well, because the real deal is other people's definitions are limited in scope because they really only see what you allow them to see. And secondly, they define you by their own understanding, and sometimes people project on you their own stuff, and so then they are defining you out of their own stuff, out of their own limitations and their own insecurities. What do you see? What do you see when you see yourself? Okay, what do you use to see yourself? What mechanisms are you using to see yourself through? Do you see yourself through your past? Are you using your past to see yourself, to define who you are and what you see? Some of us have had some failures and some indiscretions we've used, some places we've gone we shouldn't have gone, some things we've said we shouldn't have said in our past, and it's dangerous to see ourselves through our past. Yes, we use our past as an instrument of knowledge and wisdom, so that we won't repeat the same mistakes. We use our past as a teaching moment, but we cannot see ourselves, our true selves, by using the past to define us. We cannot allow our past to define us, because, again, we've had some moments where we have not lived up to our best selves in our past. Then the other thing, do you see yourself through other people? Another dangerous place or mechanism to use to see yourself when you try to see yourself through other people. That is dangerous, because when we try to measure ourselves up against other people, that is not the best magnitude to use, because what so-and-so has and what so-and-so has gone through and what so-and-so had to do to get to where they are is not necessarily feasible for you. So be careful in not seeing yourself through other people, because you are uniquely designed and you are uniquely equipped to get to your place of purpose and destiny by way of God's intentionality and not man's intentions and what they had, their journey. Their journey is not your journey. All of us have our own journey to self-discovery and to self-victory. The other thing, do you see yourself through your present posture? That is also dangerous, because where you are right now, and for most of us, is not a permanent place. For some of us, it's just a stopping, a passing through place. It is a drop by, a stop by. We are just passing through where we are presently. For some of us, it's just a holding space or holding place until God gives us the okay and the clearance to land safely. We are just in a holding space. So we cannot see ourselves through our present posture. And so I strongly suggest, beloved, if you are going to fully understand your authentic self and live in your authentic self, that one, you take a good look in the mirror. That's the starting place. Take a good look in the mirror. And when I say take a good look in the mirror, that means don't glance at yourself. Don't peek at yourself But make sure also when you're taking a good look in the mirror, make sure the mirror is crystal clear, because a blurry mirror reflection is skewed. When your mirror is not clean and has some spots on it, it can cause the reflection to be skewed. Yes, there can be some distortions and inconsistencies there. I know there are times, and I don't know about you, I know there are times I would look in the mirror and I leave the house and go out to the car and maybe look in another mirror or something, and I see something on my face that I thought I got and I didn't get and missed a little spot or, so you got to be careful about the mirror, making sure that mirror is crystal clean. And I think about my little fella. There are times I say to him, go and wash your face, getting ready for school. And when I get him out to the car, because, you know, sometimes how it can be, mothers who are mothers on this phone, I mean, on this airway, and you're listening, you know, when getting kids together and you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to get out the house and you're rushing. And so I leave it up to him. He's big enough to take care of his face and wash up and take care of those kind of things. And so I get into the car, and I'm like, oh, my God, child, did you wash your mouth? Did you clean between your eyes? What is going on here? He's like, I did. He thought he did, but he did not really pay close attention to himself in the mirror. So all I'm simply saying is make sure that mirror is clear and that you just don't glance, but you take a good look, because if it's not clear and it's blurry, as I stated, your view is skewed and you are unable to see the real you. When a person has a skewed view of themselves, it's easy for them to blame others for where they are, for their own mistakes. You see, when you see yourself through a skewed lens, you tend to lack the will to take responsibility. And let me just park here just for a moment. It's very important, if we're going to live in our authentic selves, that we take responsibility for our actions, that we not point the finger, that we not blame, because it's really easy to do that. And I'm not saying that sometimes, you know, folk in your life hasn't done things to you that may perhaps cause a certain reaction or response. But ultimately, you and I are responsible for our response. You see, we are responsible. We have the ability and we have been given the authority to exercise self-control. We have been given that. And so we have to be responsible enough to take on the various responsibilities for our actions and even our inactions, take responsibility for it. And the other thing is, in living authentically, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, making sure, this is number three, this is a big one, that we live in integrity. And so many people lack this principle. And that's why folk, when we talk about living out our authentic selves, are really not living their authentic selves, because they're not living in integrity. How is it that a Christian, a believer, someone who says that they walk in God, can live such an integritous life? That is a contradiction. That's a contradiction. So we have to make sure that we are walking integrity if we're going to live in our true authentic self. Because when we talk about our true authentic self, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, we are a reflection of the one that created us. We are a reflection. So if we are not walking authentically, then we are not being true to the one whose image and likeness we are created in. So check yourself out. in a crystal clear mirror. Tell yourself, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? Do you recognize the person looking back at you? Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror? Maybe that's just me. Ever looked at yourself in the mirror and had to go back and look like, is that me? What is that? You know, look at yourself. And I was reading something the other day, and I found it quite interesting. And they were saying that when you look at yourself in the mirror, when you're trying to tap into who you really are, perhaps you don't do it with your eyes open, but that you do it with your eyes wide shut, that you close them, closed. And so I said, that is quite interesting, because they were saying that it then gives you the opportunity to really fully embrace and reflect on you, and that you don't look at the external, but that you look at the internal of who you are in that mirror. And some of us, we need to do just that. Look in that mirror with your eyes wide shut so you can see the internal of who you are, because the external sometimes gets in the way of seeing who you really are. When nobody is looking, when there's nobody there but you, God, and the mirror. Some of you, if you're truthful with yourself, when you begin to look in that mirror, you are unrecognizable because of lost identity. You don't even recognize yourself because your identity has been lost. And in some cases, stolen. Some of your identity has been stolen. And so when we talk about lost identity, it is the kind of identity that has been stolen through, you know, engaging in activities that overwhelms you, that overtakes you, that does not give you the space. Well, let me not say does not give you the space, but you have allowed, because we got to talk about, we're talking about responsibility here, that you have allowed to overwhelm you so much so that you have lost yourself in doing, in being, that kind of thing. And that is, I don't know who I am anymore. And you've heard people who have gotten lost in that. And when we're talking about trying to walk in your authentic self, where they got lost in that type of position or posture or place, lost, that lost identity where I don't even know who I am anymore. You know, all, you know, when folks see you, they identify you as being so-and-so's wife, as so-and-so's mother, as that employee, as so-and-so's pastor, as so-and-so's leader. That is how you are now identified, because you are, you have what's called a lost identity. My sense of self is gone. My core, my sense of who I am, I don't even know who that is anymore. So therefore, I cannot fully walk in my true authentic self because I don't even know who I am anymore. Is there anyone listening out there in the listening audience? You can attest, or you've been there, or maybe you're there right now, where you don't even know who you are anymore. Lost identity has the potential to lead you to seek self-worth from others. It is at this place where it becomes important, of how people see you, how people view you, how people value you. That's what lost identity will do for you, where you begin to see your self-worth through other people's validation. You seek reassurance and praise from other people because your true self, your true identity has been lost. And this can be a dangerous place because when we're unable to live up to the praise and validation and acceptance of others, we see ourselves worthless. When we don't get the praise, when we don't get the validation, when we're not being patted on the back when everybody has left the choir stand and we're still standing there singing along. That's a dangerous place to be in when there's lost identity. But then there's also what's called a stolen identity, when someone steals our identity and it's unbeknownst to us that they are using our name and our private and personal information, using these things about us to be able to take from us and to get, a credit that they don't deserve and using it up to their advantage. This is an invisible kind of crime. So this is dangerous as well as lost identity is. When we have stolen identity, we are prohibited to grow, to move forward. We lose time, we lose money, we lose energy. When we are living in lost identity, that's a dangerous place. And let me also say, this kind of lost identity stifles us. It steals our potential. It robs us of our possibility when we are living in stolen identity. And on the flip side of having others steal our identity and we are living in that type of misconception of who we are. As dangerous as that is, on the flip side, is when we steal somebody else's identity and we living in their identity. And we have people who are doing that. You are living in somebody else's identity. You've stolen their identity. And there is no way you can live out your true, authentic self when you are living in a stolen identity that you intentionally stole, that you did on purpose because you wanted to be that person. But you also robbed God of his best gift that he has intended for you. Because the scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from God, the Father of lights. We deny God the opportunity to give us the best gift when we have robbed somebody else's identity and tried to live in their moment in space. That is dangerous. It impedes ourselves from living out the authentic, true nature of who we are. That is a dangerous place. So we have, when we talk about lost identity and stolen identity, we need to be really cognizant that we are not living in anybody else's identity, and there's no preconceived notions of, of grandeur, and we are not living in self-denial, and we are not denying ourselves to live out our full potential in God. So let us be mindful of that. And so to take a good look in the mirror and to see ourselves is one of the best exercises we can do so that we are not we do not have any falsehoods about who we really are. And take off the mask. Take off the mask. I told you we were going to talk about that mask again. The mask that folk wear is to do what? To disguise and to hide. And one of the reasons for wearing a mask is to pretend to be someone else. The mask is an expression of who we choose to play. Isn't that interesting? Considering that this is the month of, October, and you got Halloween, and people typically buy a mask of their choice. They select the mask based on who it will allow them to identify with. The mask that they choose is the very person or thing that they wish to become. So when you put on the mask, you are selectively choosing who it is you really want to be. But the mirror, power to tell the truth. Allow your mirror to tell you the truth about you. And that's why some people say, ignore the mirror, don't look at it, because if you look at it, what you see you might not be able to handle, you won't like what you see, and the mirror won't be kind to you. But let me just park here for 1 second. For the most part, and definitely for my sister friends who are listening, when it comes to the whole weight thing, sometimes, you know, folks say, don't look in the mirror because you ain't going to like what you see. Don't look in the mirror because you may get depressed. Don't look in the mirror because of this, that, and the other. But if we are to be true and we're going to be real, we ought to allow the mirror to become our best friend. Because, again, the mirror has the power to do what? Tell us the truth. And so that's why it's important to make sure the mirror that you and I are looking into is clean and polished so that it can allow us to see the truth, and thus we'll be able to operate in the spirit of truth. And so what is the truth? What is the truth? I talked about how, you know, when you look in the mirror, who do you see? What do you see when you look in the mirror? So very, very important. When you look in the, who are you? Who are you? What do you see? And then as I'm closing out this discussion, what is truth? What is truth? Truth is defined as candor and honesty. And I hear someone saying, what truth is to someone else may not be truth to me. And I say to that, true that. True to that, true to that. And that's why we have to stand in our own truth, truth about us, our individual truth, while at the same time succumb to the ultimate truth that would be God's truth, come into God's truth. Why is the truth so important when we're discussing and talking about living out our authentic self? Because it then exposes us to our true God self, our true God nature, when we're looking at what truth is. And I, let me say this. Better to get hurt by the truth than to be comforted by a lie. Let me say that again. Better to get hurt by the truth than to be comforted by a lie. Someone said, what you don't know can't hurt you. Well, that's a lie. It is better to know the truth. Because the scripture says what? In John 8:32. That the truth will do what? Set us free. And we thank God for truth. And as believers, we ought to live in the truth. We ought to live in the truth. Because the truth lets us know who we are in God. Who we are and how does God see us when we're living out our authentic self. At the end of it all, when we are trying to discover who we are, at the end of it all, what really matters is what does God say about us? What is God's truth? Because God's truth is our truth. That is our authentic self. Our authentic self is living out our God reality. And the reality is that we are created in what? His image and his what? Likeness. Are we fully living that out? Do we see ourselves the way God sees us? Is that the thing that we are embracing? Is that the thing that we are living out the way God sees us? You see, I already talked about what people see and how we see and, you know, how we've gotten caught up and stolen and lost identity and all of that. Okay, once we realize all of that, the ultimate authentic self is living out our God self and being able to rise above the place of mediocrity. That's living our authentic self, being true to our God self, not true to what somebody else think about us, being true to our God self, because when we are then true to our God self and the destiny that God has placed on us, it is then and only then can we live out the reason for why we were born. That's living your authentic self, when you can live out not a brand, because brands we know can come and go. You see, they are here today and they can be gone tomorrow. They can lose its luster. They can lose it. But when we are living out what we were born into the earth to do, to carry out, we are then living authentically. And so I want to ask you, are you living out what you were born here on earth for? Are you living it out? If you aren't, if there are things that are hindering you, then you're not fully living your authentic self. So I challenge you. I challenge you. One, how real are you with yourself? Two, ask yourself, what are the barriers that are stopping you from being your authentic self? Three, have you embraced your truth? Four, have you exposed the lies that the enemy has told you about you? Five, have you given God full control? Important. So on a scale of 0 to 10, and of course in this instance 10 being the highest, where are you in acknowledging there's more to you than what you see in the mirror? Secondly, on that same scale, have you accepted what you have discovered about you, whether it be your weakness, your flaws, your insecurities? Number three, on the same scale, how much are you willing to surrender to the truth that you can do better, that you are better? That's your test for you when pursuing to live out your true, authentic self. Your authentic self. My challenge to you as you're listening to this show on tonight, be the best authentic you that you were born to be. Because if you don't, lives hang in the balance till then. And so as I close this discussion, lastly, let me say, be sure to safeguard and protect your authenticity, but not to the point where you cannot be transparent and vulnerable. And let me caution you to do so in an environment where your authenticity won't be compromised. Because as we know, all environments are not equal and therefore are inadequate to handle your raw and real authentic self. Be mindful. Be strategic, intentional about being your authentic self. Understand that when we are truly our authentic selves, we are indeed a threat to the enemy's kingdom. We are a threat. Because the person who really knows who they are and why they're here, and living that out, unstoppable. All they can see is the finish line and the importance of finishing. When you live in your authentic self, you understand the importance of finishing what God birthed you into the earth to be. So live authentically, live intentional. Because we know that there's a war that's constantly being waged to stop us from being authentic. And with that being said, I want to encourage you, those of you who did not get to come out to meet me in the War Room workshop this past Saturday. Some of you may have gotten there, and you know it was such a blessing and indeed powerful. We want to thank our presenter, Reverend Sharon Clark, an awesome woman of God who shared some mighty principles with us. And this Saturday, once again, we'll be at 5355 Phelps Luck Drive in Columbia, Maryland. 21045 is the zip code. It will be starting at 11 o'clock. Meet me in the War Room from 11 o'clock to 1:30. So those of you who are in the DMV area, we strongly encourage you to come out, because I can tell you this, if you learn how to battle and how to fight and use the right tactical weaponry, that the enemy cannot in no wise get the upper hand over you, because you understand the weapons of your warfare and you know how to use them. See, we know we got weapons, but to know we have them and not know how to use them, what sense does that make? So she told us, she gave us, I think it was about four weapons that we have when we are exercising spiritual warfare. And the booklet is so rich. You just want to come, if you don't want to come for the entire thing, come and get your booklet. And I believe this week she's going to deal with the power of prayer and intercession. We're going to go up another notch higher. And this workshop series, Meet Me in the War Room. And so it's nothing to be fearful of, nothing to be afraid of, but to fully embrace your calling, fully embrace why God has called you out for such a time as this and has made you to be a part of the body of Christ. You are here. You are a weapon. You are here to change things. You are here, hallelujah, to be a powerful force, a reckoning. That's why you're here. So I strongly encourage you, it's not too late, to come out on this Saturday and meet us at 11 o'clock, whatever it was. I know some folk couldn't get there this past Saturday, but by all means, get there this Saturday. We thought last Saturday was awesome. This Saturday is going to be even greater, if I may say that. It's going to be greater because, again, I know this woman of God's gifts and anointing that rest upon her life. And as I've shared, God has used her in the war room to help encourage folk. And we have seen miracles and breakthroughs come through the loins of her ministry Without Walls, prayer intercession, a ministry that is international, and we've heard the testimonies, and we have seen God do great things. And so it's always best to sit and to be informed by those who walk in their gifts with integrity and with such a spirit of greatness and excellence. Learn from the generals. Amen. And so come out this Saturday at 11 o'clock and receive what God has for you. So let me say this as we close. Thank you all for listening and tuning in. And my prayer is that you receive something and that you no longer will be hindered from living your authentic self. See who you are. Embrace it. Deal with it. Don't run from it. And make sure by all means that you are living your God self, the best that God has placed in you. Live it out. Live it out. So God bless you. Pastor Rosemary Cook will be on next Monday. I'm sure she'll have something that is helpful and powerful to the listeners. And so do plan to tune in at 7 o'clock, the same time, same station. And let me say this just before we go off on tonight. If you have any questions, I think we have about a minute. If anybody wanted to say anything to me regarding living your authentic self, what you can do is hit number 1 on your phone, and we'll talk. So if you want to say something, put something out there, feel free at this time to press number 1 so you can be heard. Amen. If not, we're going to go ahead and go off the air, wishing you well and God's blessings. Remember, live up, live well, and stay strong, and walk in the anointing that God has given you. Peace and blessings.
Join us here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul. Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Deletta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world-famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old-school favorites in R&B, hip-hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total Empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join relationship coaches Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us as they answer all of your relationship questions. On the third Thursday of the month, men, it's time to man up with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, in the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul.